All right, with that being said, this morning, take your Bible, if you would, please, turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3, once again today. And then I want you to hold your place there and go over just a few more chapters to John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14. I've used these verses many times in funerals in different settings. I don't know that I've ever used them in a particular Sunday morning service. I don't remember if I have. I don't keep up. With all of that, I just try to be led of the Lord and use that which you would have me to use. But, man, what some great words we have in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verses 1 through 6. That'll be the verses we're going to be looking at today. And for the last several weeks, we've been looking at things that are eternal. Certainly everything that we see in this world is temporal or temporary today. Everything that we see is one day going to pass away, including you and I. And so this morning there are some things that are eternal that we've been looking at, and I'll briefly go over those after I read my text this morning. But the thought for today's message is this on things that are eternal, and that's simply an eternal sanctuary or an eternal home. I want you to think about that as we read the text this morning and give the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon my heart for this hour. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, if you're able to stand this morning, and I'd invite you to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able. Certainly, if you're not able today, I certainly understand this morning, but if you're able, if you would, I want to read these few verses of Scripture and give you the thought on the eternal sanctuary or the eternal home or heaven, as they were so wonderfully singing about this morning. We've been using John chapter number 3 as the launching pad for the thought of things that are eternal. And John chapter number 3, verse 16, I believe the greatest verse, the greatest text in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then the Gospel of John this morning, chapter number 14, Jesus here, of course, after we have, after the upper room discourse and all the things that's taken place, and Jesus is, of course, telling them, of course, that he's going to go away and these things, that certainly we understand that this morning as we study the Scriptures, that he had to go to the cross and lay in his life that we could be saved, and you could be saved, the world could be saved if they would trust in him. And certainly their hearts were troubled and heavy, and certainly he's telling Peter in the last part of chapter number 13, of course, how he's going to deny him, and we see how the disciples are going to be scattered and all those things. But notice what he says in verse number 1 of chapter number 14. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus himself says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, you'll underline these words, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And then verse number 5 gives us a question that Thomas asked. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? I love verse number 6. I've probably quoted it many times from this very pulpit. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. Underline those two words. No man. No man. That means mankind. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for this Lord's day, to thank you for this good number, Lord, that's made their way out to the house of the Lord here this morning for our worship service. Thank you for the good teaching hour. And Lord, thank you for the good singing this morning. And Lord, every prayer has been offered, everything that's been done. Lord, in your name this morning, Lord, I give you honor and praise and glory. Lord, I thank you this morning for your precious word. And I pray now, Lord, he's your servant. God, I pray as I stand in this place this morning, Lord, I realize that I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. I pray for fresh oil this morning. God, I pray that you'd anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth. And Lord, I would say, Lord, those very words that you placed upon my heart, Father, for this service this morning, Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, you know our needs. You know every individual, Lord, that's in this building today. And Lord, I pray that something will be said or done, Lord, through this message this morning, Lord, that will touch every heart. Lord, help every life this morning, especially that one that may be here today lost and undone without you. I pray the spirit of conviction would fall upon their heart, Lord, so heavy today, Lord, they would not want to leave this place, Lord, until they find themselves in this altar this morning, crying out, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Maybe somebody that's cold and indifferent, out of the will of God. Lord, I don't know, Lord, the hearts of the people this morning, but Lord, you know every one of us. Lord, you know our need. And Lord, you have something for every one of us this morning if we'll yield ourselves to you. So, Father, I pray now, forgive me of every sin, every shortcoming, Lord, every fault and failure. Cleanse my heart, my mind, and my mouth. Lord, that I'll say those things that need to be said. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will work again amongst us here today. Lord, help us to be obedient and submissive to you. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, again, I want to continue the thought on things that are eternal. Now, in our study of things that are eternal, the first message that we preached on the eternal soul out of the book of Genesis and went back to the creation of man and how God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, formed Adam there in the garden and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, an eternal soul. And so that means you're going to spend eternity somewhere, and we know we're going to lay these bodies down somewhere along the way, but you have an eternal soul, and that soul will spend eternity somewhere. The second message we preached on things that are eternal, we talked about the eternal separation, and we talked about Lazarus and the rich man, and I talked about the reality of hell. I know people don't want to hear that this morning, but nevertheless, hell's still a real place, and people need to be warned of this place. You don't have to go to this place. It was not even made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels, and so we see the reality of hell. Matter of fact, just this week in a Fox News poll, and I don't believe it was only Fox News that reported this, but even in America, the Americans said that the world was going to hell in a handbasket. 50% of the American voters said this morning that America itself or the world itself was going to hell in a handbasket. I believe if people truly believe that this morning, I believe that they would live different. I believe they would do different. I believe this morning there would be a change in the hearts and lives of people if people really realize the reality of an eternal separation from a loving God that gave his son that we could be saved. And so that's just a side note this morning. I won't charge you anything extra for that. So we see the eternal soul. We talked about the eternal separation. And then we talked about certainly the eternal salvation. Boy, I thank God for that today. The eternal salvation that I have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the eternal scriptures, which points us to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so with that being said, I want to look at a few moments today. Man, this ought to put a smile on our face today. We ought to rejoice in our heart that there's an eternal sanctuary or an eternal home for those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. And so I begin to think about those souls. And certainly with the time that we have allotted this morning, there's no possible way that I could cover all that the Bible says about this wonderful place. But I just want to give you a few things this morning that I pray will be a blessing and a help. And I pray this morning, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, that this day, this very day, this very hour, that you would come and accept Christ as your Savior so that you could have assurance in your heart today. That today, if this be the last day that you spend on planet Earth, that you've got a better place to go. And so I want to look at the fold of an eternal sanctuary. What do you think about, just in the way of opening an introduction this morning, what do you think about when you think of the place called heaven? By the way, this morning, heaven is a real place. It's not a fairy tale or the figment of someone's imagination, like so many today mistakenly think. It's a real place. My prayer again this morning would be that there will not be one individual sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that would miss out on this wonderful place. It's a place this morning like you and I cannot begin to comprehend its greatness. This morning, songwriters have tried to describe it. If you'll notice, two of our songs this morning was talking about heaven. Songwriters throughout the ages have tried to describe it. But friend, I don't believe it's a drop in the bucket to what it's going to be like. Songwriters have written about it, written many great songs about it. And I like to sing them. I like to think about them. Not only has there been any songs to try to describe it, preachers, hallelujah, for many years have stood and had sermon after sermon, thank God, about this wonderful place. But even in all the great sermons of heaven, I still believe tonight that it does not come to the full description and blessing that awaits those that who are going to this wonderful place. I hope and pray this morning again that you're ready to go to this place. Now, none of us know when our life here is going to be through. Not a one of us in here today knows the day or the hour that we'll depart this life. But there is one thing for sure, as we've already talked about, in these things that are eternal, everyone's got that appointment with death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we have this thing called death. We have this thing called the rapture of the church, which could take place at any moment, at any time. Listen to me, my friend. I don't believe there's not one other thing on God's calendar this morning that would prevent Him from coming even this very day. And so the sad part about that is there's probably somebody here this morning, and there could be many here today, that you're not ready to meet Him. How sad it would be that you be left behind after the rapture of the church takes place and all hell's poured loose on this world. I'm telling you what, that first 3.5 years, it's bad enough. But that second 3.5 years, friend, you have never known things that's going to be poured out on this earth. So I would say this morning, I'm glad I don't have to go through that. I'm glad this morning I've already got my reservation made. I'm glad everything's already got fixed up. I'm glad I'm ready to go whenever the Lord calls. Now listen, I want to live just as long as the Lord will let me live. That's not what I'm saying this morning. I'm just so glad that when God calls, that man can know in his heart that he's ready to meet God, that he's ready for a better place and a better day. And so with that being said this morning, I want us to look at some things about this eternal sanctuary. Let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. Hebrews 11:10, speaking of Abraham, which it just so happened was our Sunday school lesson as far as about Abraham and certainly the promise of covenant that God made with Abraham. Even I thought about this verse of Scripture. I'll give it to you in a minute. But even as blessed as Abraham was in this life with the things of God and all the things that he blessed him with, he was looking beyond this world. Oh, my soul this morning, if you and I that are saved by the grace of God could get looking beyond this world today. I'm telling you what, we get too caught up in this world when thank God there's something better on the other side. Listen to me this morning. Abraham, the writer of the book of Hebrews, said about Abraham, for he looked for a city. He looked for a city who hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. You know what Abraham said in all of his blessings that God had bestowed upon him? He knew there was something better. Hallelujah this morning, church. I'm glad there's something better beyond this veil of tears. I'm glad this morning there's something better beyond this world of sorrows and suffering and sickness and death. I'm glad there's something. Thank God it's far better in this world of sin. I'm telling you today, I'm glad there's a better place. And that place this morning is called heaven. Hallelujah. If Abraham was looking for it, I believe you and I ought to be looking for it. Now, when we talk about heaven this morning, and you study your Bible, you'll find that it mentions three heavens. The first heaven this morning is the heaven that we can walk outside and look up and see the sky and the clouds. That's the first heaven. The second heaven this morning is where the moon and the stars and the sun and the rest of the planets that God made, that's where they abide. But then you go to that third heaven. Hallelujah. And begin to think about that third heaven this morning. That's the abode of God today. And the abode of all those that have trusted God down through the ages. Listen to me, my friend. You don't want to miss out on this place called heaven this morning. I'll be honest with you today. I'm afraid there's more going to miss out on it than's going to be in on it. Not only did I think about Hebrews 11:10, but 1 Peter 1:4. Notice Peter talks about, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah this morning. Thank God. Heaven, the word heaven this morning in the Greek means, as we've already said, the heaven has the abode of God by implying happiness, power, eternity. Hallelujah. There's no possible way to begin to describe what this place is going to be like. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm going to get to stroll over heaven one day. I'm glad I'm going to get to go. I'm glad I'm going to get to walk on what man's fought over here. Hallelujah. The Bible says that it's a street of gold. Hallelujah. We'll just walk on it here. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl. I'm telling you, but the great splendor of this place called heaven is the one that went to the cross of Calvary 2,000 plus years ago. The one that we read about here in the Gospel of John that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The one that said, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I'm at, there you may be also. Oh, my soul, if we can't shout and rejoice over getting to go to heaven this morning, then friend, I'll tell you what, we're deader than what I thought. I'm telling you, we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice that we've got a place when this life's over that we can go to. Hallelujah. A place called heaven. A place of happiness. A place of power. A place of eternity this morning. Notice I entitled the message, Eternal Sanctuary. The word sanctuary this morning means a sacred place. It means a house consecrated to the worship of God. You think it's going to be dead there, friend? You got another thing coming. This is the deadest place I'll ever be. The deadest world I'll ever be in. Hallelujah. Thank you. You say, preacher, I don't like that shouting. I don't like that hand raising. I don't like that saying amen. I don't like that kind of worship. Well, friend, you might ought to just get suited up and get ready, because it's going to be on like Donkey Kong when we get over there. I'm telling you, thank God, when we see the one that shed his blood on Calvary and paid our sin debt. I'm telling you this morning, friend, if that don't want to make you shout today, if that don't make someone want to rise up in you and put a smile on your face and a spring in your step and a song in your heart, knowing I don't deserve to go and knowing you don't deserve to go, but I get to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus this morning. It's the deadest place I'll ever be. Life and life forevermore. Sanctuary, sacred place, a house consecrated to the worship of God, a place where divine service is performed, a place of protection. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to his name. A place of protection, shelter, and refuge. That just begins to describe the place that I get to go to for eternity. The eternal sanctuary. Number one, all that's just introduction. The eternal sanctuary, number one, is the home of the eternal Redeemer. Amen. The home of the eternal Redeemer. What are you talking about, preacher? What I'm preaching about or attempting to preach about, that's where he's at. When he told those disciples, boys, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And might I say, he's been at it 2,000 plus years. Could you imagine? Now, I don't know all that goes into what God's doing. And I realize there's going to be a new heaven and new earth when you go to the book of the Revelation. And we may talk about that a little bit. Listen, I don't know all about the ins and the outs, but I don't have to worry about it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, just give me a thought. It's just like Jesus said, boys, don't worry about it. I've got this thing under control. Oh, yeah, you're going to have some hard times and some bumps in the road, but in the end, it's all going to be all right. He says, I'm fixing to leave out. And when I leave out, I'm going to go and I'm going to begin to prepare you a place. It'd be like somebody, Brother Kent, coming up to you and saying, I'm telling you what, Kent, at no cost to you, woo, hallelujah. At no cost to you, brother, I'm going to build you the nicest looking place that you've ever seen. And one day when I get that thing done, when I get her finished, I get all the silver polished. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, I don't know if it'll be like that. Well, I'm doing the preaching. Don't worry about it. Amen. He said, and I get everything done and I get everything fixed up. He said, I will come again. Now, he may come by death and he may come by rapture. But there's one thing he said, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so it's like somebody calling you up on the phone and said, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to build you a $250,000 house. It's not going to cost you a thing. Hallelujah. It's going to be fully furnished. It's going to have everything that you need. I'm just going to give you the keys to it and let you move in. Oh, hallelujah this morning. You say, preacher, that don't excite me much. I've never lived in a $250,000 house. You may this morning, and if you do, that's all right. But friend, it won't be nothing. Nothing to compare to the one that my Heavenly Father is making for me. He's preparing for me. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know everything that's going to be in it, but I do know one thing. It'll be all right. Why is that? Because he's making it. He's preparing it. He's getting it ready. And when he gets it done, he'll be to get me. Hallelujah. Thank God. And give me the keys to it. And say, paid in full. Hallelujah. You tell me this morning that this world's got anything on that. Number one, it's the home of the eternal Redeemer, the Lord Jesus himself. Thought about three things about this eternal Redeemer, the home of the eternal Redeemer. Number one, the Lord Jesus himself in his person. He is eternal. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He always has been, he always will be. And the greatest occupant of heaven today, my friend, is none other than Jesus himself. There's God the Father. There's God the Son. I believe the Son set it on the right hand of the Father, just like the Bible says, to be my great high priest, to be my interceder, to be my mediator, Hallelujah, I'm telling you what, when the devil comes before him and says, I'll tell you what, that old boy right down there, he ain't much. I'll tell you what, he's an old, dirty, filthy, rotten sinner. Jesus says, well, wait just a minute. Wait just 1 minute. I died for that boy. Hallelujah, and one Sunday morning, the best thing you have, he slipped out by faith and received me as his Savior. And I'll tell you what, I'm making him a place. He's going to be with me one day. Listen, I've never saw him, but one day, hallelujah, one glorious daybreak, and it may not be long. Hallelujah, he's going to descend heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, and we'll meet in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's the home of the eternal Redeemer. That's where he's at. And boy, I tell you what. See, we're just pilgrims passing through.
Amen.
This is not home. You better not get your tent stakes drove in too deep here. Because this is not home. We're just passing through. Notice it's the home of the eternal Redeemer. Notice in his person. Notice in his power. He cannot be defeated. Notice in his promise that he will not fail. He told these disciples, I'm sure they were sitting there like it was a whole lot of the times when he was telling them, going, now, I just don't know about all this. Well, there's one thing about it. God's promise is true. I tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I'm just going to hold him to it. Miss Debbie, I believe I'll just hold him to it.
Absolutely.
Why? Because he's faithful. He's made us a promise. I want you to notice not only is it the home of the eternal Redeemer, but secondly, I want you to notice it's the home of the eternally redeemed. Not everybody's going. This ought to grip your heart. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I didn't ask you if you're a church member. I didn't ask you how many times you've been baptized. I didn't ask you how many times you've walked an altar and professed something. I'm asking you this morning, friend, as Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, ye must be born again. You can be a member of every church in Wilkes County and die and go to hell. Preacher, that's a bold statement. That's a true statement. You can be baptized till the tadpoles know your name. And that ain't going to get you to heaven. Now let me say this. If you are gloriously born again, if you've been to Calvary and you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, you ought to be a member of a church. You ought to be baptized. You ought to be going for God. You ought to be telling somebody else, hallelujah, what Jesus done for you, he'll do for them. I'm not saying, but friend, if you're trusting in anything other than the eternal Redeemer this morning, then friend, you're going to come up short. For those that was in the service on Thursday night, we used Judas and talked about him a little bit. I heard somebody make a statement. I didn't make this Thursday night in the message, but I'm going to make it this morning. Somebody said of Judas that he went up and kissed heaven's door and died and went to hell. Think about that. He went up and kissed heaven's door because Jesus said what? I am the door. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. He's the only way. I think about the people who have been so close, but yet so far away. There's a saying in a country that y'all have heard many times, and let me use it right here and I'll move on. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. He could be parched to the place his tongue was hanging and dragging the ground. And there could be water. And all he'd have to do was lift up his head and put his head in the water. But it won't do him a bit of good, and he can be right beside of it. What was it that Agrippa told Paul? Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And however you slip out into eternity is how you will be for eternity. There's two classes of people in this building this morning. Now the world will say that there's the rich, the poor, the middle class. They will say there's black and white and red and yellow and whatever color they want to come up with. They can say there's Americans, there's Indians, there's African Americans, there's German, there's just all the nationalities. But in essence today, there's two people in this building. Sitting under the sound of my voice on a Sunday morning, there's two classes of people. You're either a lost sinner or a saved sinner. Let me say that one more time. You're either a lost sinner or you're a saved sinner. Well, preacher, what makes the difference? The eternal Redeemer. Because this is where He abides. This is His home, this eternal sanctuary, this place called heaven this morning, and the home of the eternal redeemed. It's not on our goodness. It's on His grace. His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, His long-suffering, and His ultimate suffering at Calvary. He was willing to take the cup. It's the home of the eternal Redeemer. It's the home of the eternal Redeemed. Number one, there's a preparation. Notice Jesus again said, I go and prepare a place for you. There is a place. And that place, again, this morning is the place that we're trying to preach about. Of course, a house this morning, you think about a home, you think about a house, you think about a residence, an abode. And also it implies a family. The family of God. Listen, friend, if you're outside the family of God, you're not going. It's the home of the eternal Redeemer. It's the home of the eternal redeemed. There is no other way. Well, I don't want to miss that. I wouldn't want to miss that, would you? Not only the preparation and the place, but I think about the people of the eternal redeemed. Those that have trusted by faith the Lord Jesus as Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. One more time. I believe I can do that. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. Hey, death to a child of God, this morning's graduation time. Yes, we want to live. God put within us the desire to want to live and thank God for that. But when He says it's time to go, it'll be all right. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because a shadow can't hurt you. A shadow can't harm you. A shadow can't do anything this morning against you. Thank God, I'm glad He'll go with us all the way this morning. Because it's the home of the eternal Redeemer. It's the home of the eternal redeemed. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, that's good. Thank God. Thirdly, this morning, it's the home of eternal rest. I don't have time this morning to go to Hebrews 4. It talks about rest. And even here in this text, notice Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I see a lot of troubled people today. We're living in a troubled world. We're living in a messed up world. Look where sin's got us to. Look where taking prayer out of this and prayer out of that's got us to. Look where taking priorities over the house of God and the things of God and the Word of God has got us to. There's only one answer for the problem. That's Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. That means there's a place of rest. I'll be honest with you, you're not going to get much rest in this world. Devil's going to make sure of that. I mean, there ain't no sense in compounding it or helping him out, but boy, we sure like to do that, don't we? But I'm glad when we get over there to be a place of eternal rest. Let me give you three things about the eternal rest. Number one, it's a place of eternal rest from our worries. There'll be no more worries over there. And really, we ought not spend a whole lot of time worrying here because, as I've said many times, most of the time we worry about things we can't change no way. And we spend so much time worrying over things that we can't do anything about. But we all are human. And you can say here this morning, tell me that you don't have a worry in the world. Well, friend, you might not want to say that too quick because 5 minutes later, you could have more worries than you could ask for. But when I get home, I won't have to worry about a thing. It's already going to be praise God, this is good. He's fixing me a place, so I don't have to worry about that. Amen. If you study your Bible close enough, he talks about the river of life that flows out from the throne of God. And on either side of that river, there's 12. There's fruit trees that bear 12 manner of fruit and give their fruit every month. I got to worry about a place to stay. I don't have to worry about nothing to eat. You say, preacher, will we eat in heaven? Why would he put the fruit trees there?
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Paul.
Yeah.
You think them great, them old boys brought out of the promised land down there? And then but said, "Oh, we can't go down there." Are you kidding me? Take a pot of grapes and have to carry it between two poles? That won't be nothing to compare to the fruit to be on these trees. Amen. And it's going to have 12 different. You say, "Well, I don't like that kind of fruit." Well, just reach up and get you an item. Amen. Why, it'll be so good you'll like it all. I don't have to worry about a place to stay. I don't have to worry. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about nothing to eat. I don't have to worry about transportation because I'm going to have a body like unto his. I can just go around wherever I want to. I'm not going to have to worry about fellowship because there's going to be people that I can sit down and fellowship with. Hey, man, hallelujah. Boy, it's getting better all the time. Amen. Boy, I don't believe I'd want to miss it, Brother Archie.
Right.
Hey, man.
Right.
I don't have to worry about a thing. I'm not going to have to worry about being protected. I'm not even going to have to lock the door. I said a while ago, he gave you the keys. We don't need none. Right. You don't have to lock the door.
Right.
Don't have to worry about the storms coming up.
Right.
Won't be none. I don't have to worry about no old sorry devil riding the back because he won't be there.
Amen.
This place sounding pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's the home of the eternal Redeemer, the eternally redeemed, and there are no worries. What was that song years ago? Don't worry, be happy. I'm getting carnal now. The home of eternal rest. Don't worry, be happy. Praise God, I'll just practice it a little now. Look on somebody's face, I don't know where you're going or not. It's a place of eternal rest. No worries, I got to quit here. A rest from our work, our worries. Secondly, a rest from our work. Now, we ought to work while we're here. Because I can take you to Scripture after Scripture. get to work. But when we get there, Jesus said, just sit down and rest a while.
Amen.
Just get up there close to the throne of God and just sit there and just take it all in. Well, I'm telling you what, that's causing something to run up my back of my neck. Oh, glory to God. Just sit there and take it in. Jesus said, just sit down here a while. I said, your work's over. Your work's done. Just sit down and enjoy it a while. It's a home of eternal rest from our worries, from our work. Thirdly, from the wiles of the devil. That old rascal won't bother me no more when I get there. And I don't know about you, but that rascal sometimes, boy, he gets to be a load. Now sometimes we towed him around longer than we ought to. But you say, oh, preacher, I don't ever have no problems with him. Well, then evidently he's got you right where he wants you. He's got you suckered in. And he's a liar and the father of all lies. But I'm glad when I get to my eternal rest, those wiles of the devil are gone. So it's the home of the eternal Redeemer. It's the home of the eternal redeemed. It's home of the eternal rest. And Elisha, this morning in closing, it's the home of the eternal reward. Friend, you ain't never seen nothing like it. I ain't never seen nothing like it. I can't even begin to comprehend its greatness this morning. Can you begin to comprehend a place where there's no sickness? No sorrow, no suffering, no dying, no hospitals, no funeral homes, now in my world I'm rejoicing because I have to spend the bulk part of my time in those kind of places because that's what ministry does. That's the kind of places it takes you to. But hallelujah, when I leave this world, I'm done with them. You'll never have to sit in another doctor's office. You'll never have to hear the word cancer again. You'll not have to go to another nursing home and look at those that had lived a full, vibrant life one time and is now exposed to things that we don't even want to talk about and think about. But one day, hallelujah, in the eternal rewards of God, I'll never have to see those things again. Nor experience them. Never have another headache, heartache, toeache, toothache. I mean, we can just go on and on. And then we go to all the time, all down and out. Oh, Lord, God just ain't blessing me like he's a blessing everybody else. You ain't got home yet. Sounds like a pretty good place. Now, I don't have time this morning, but you can go to the book of the Revelation today. And Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. Also in the middle part of chapter 21, there's some more verses down about verse 20, verses 23 through 27. I mean, it just gives us all kinds of the description. You say, well, preacher, that's talking about that new heaven and new earth. Well, I get to go there too. What's it all going to look like? Well, he just gives us some things that we can talk about, but still won't begin to describe it. Talks about that new heaven, new earth, no more sea. That sea represents separation and storms. We've already talked about it. The Bible says he'll dwell with them, and they'll dwell with him, and he'll be their God, and they'll be his people. He'll wipe away all tears. Anybody ever shed any tears? Now, there's something about those tears. There's some things that's got to transpire and take place before God can wipe them all away. That's after the great white throne judgment. Don't have time for that this morning, maybe in another message. But one day all the tears is going to be gone, all the death's going to be gone, all the pain's going to be gone. Also, it talks about the beauty and the size of it. It talks about the temple. It talks about him being the light. It makes me think about that song that the choir sang this morning. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's sing it one more time. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever. Praise his name this morning. They put that on the radio, I'll kill him. I'll make that decision anyhow. I don't care if I do. He said, make a joyful noise. You get me to sing, now you've done something. Amen. Boy, it's about shot and gone, but I just felt like I had to do it. What a day that'll be. My question to you in closing this morning is, are you ready for that day? Preacher, I hope I'm ready. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you this morning, are you hoping you're ready? I'm asking you this morning, do you know you're ready? God's Word teaches me that I can know.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I don't have to maybe. I don't have to hope so.
That's right.
God said, I want you to know so.
Yes, sir.
Now, I can't sing much here, and I'll be the first. I've said it all along. I can't sing a lick. But boy, when I get home, you better get out of my way. Because I'm going to be able to sing. And in the country, it's sang. Abraham said he's looking for a city, and I'm a country boy. I'm a country boy from top of my head to bottom of my feet. But if it's going to be a city, it'll be all right. I just kind of think there'll be some countryside out there somewhere, don't you?
Good fishing hole
somewhere. Hey, man, won't have to worry about shooting no deer. Stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Brother Scotty, get us a song. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I wonder today, friend, are you ready to meet him? If you're not, I pray that you'll come to this altar this morning and get it settled, and get it settled today. Friend, if you can live your life any old way, nothing don't bother you. Sin doesn't bother you, then you ought to be right here this morning taking care of that sin problem. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you this morning for time around the Word of God. And Lord, I've not even begun to be able to scratch the surface of the greatness and the goodness of you and of this place of eternal sanctuary. But I do believe this morning there's probably folks here today that are wondering in their own heart and their mind. Maybe you've even convicted them right here in this service today that they can't say with all their heart that they're ready to meet you. Now, Lord, we could get those words, cancer, we could get those words that there's been an accident. Lord, life is so uncertain, but death is sure. And Lord, how sad it would be. Lord, it just breaks my heart to think that there could be somebody here today, and Lord, they're not ready to meet you. I pray before they leave here today, God, they'd find herself in this altar this morning, saying, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. You said you so loved the world, and that's every one of us, that you gave. So I pray that in the stillness of this invitation right now, the Holy Spirit of God, you're speaking and you're drawing. I hope we'll be obedient and submissive. Maybe there's Christians here that's not living their life in accordance to your word. And Lord, that joy and peace that they could have, they don't have. I pray right now, that Lord, you'll take the invitation and use it. And it's in Jesus' name. It's every head's bowed, every eye's closed.